Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
We want to move into the Word of God, and as the custom is, we want to start with our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Psalms, chapter 92, verse 9 to 12. Psalm 92, verses 9 to 12. Psalm 92, verses 9 to 12. For behold, your enemies, O Lord, for behold, your enemies shall perish. I'm reading for the New King James Version, so you follow. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered, but my horn you shall exalt like a wild ox. In the King James Version, he said, a unicorn is the same animal. I have heard with all. My eyes also have seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rose up against me. Amen. This is a favorite scripture of some people when they want to kill and destroy. Hallelujah. Let's, a second reading in the book of Colossians, the epistle of Paul to the church of Colossae, Colossians chapter 1, the verse 16 to 17. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 16 and then 17. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Hallelujah. Our final reading is the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. And I would want the church to join me together as we read the book of 1 Samuel, the chapter 2, verse 10. Let's go. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will tender against them. The Lord judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. The Lord will exalt the horn of his anointed. It pleases the Lord that we continue in the matter of are thou anointed. Although what I'm about to talk about, I decided to reserve it exclusively for a new phase of the teachings on the anointing, but it was pressed on my heart that in the concluding part of this foundational teachings on anointing, I should expose the church to this very understanding. And we want to talk about matters of authority and anointing. So today's message, the title of the message is like the horn of a unicorn. The horn of the believer is exalted like the horn of a unicorn. I want you to project the image of a unicorn so that they can understand the projection I want to do when we talk about the horn of a unicorn, like the horn of a unicorn. Now, this is a typical grown unicorn. You see the horns. It's not like the average animal horn. They look like they are trying to connect to each other. Okay? They are very strong and wild. Now, when the Bible said, the Lord shall exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn, this is the image of what God is doing. So, you see, it grows and then it begins to show authority. You see that hand is lifted up. Now, even the most strongest and biggest animal in the forest called elephant fears a wild ox because of its horn. It fears a wild ox because of its horn. The horn of a unicorn is a very dangerous thing. It is visible even from afar. It is one of the first things you see about it when it is coming. So when it's running towards you, the first thing you see coming is the horn. It's very polished, shining, and strong. And every animal who wants to misbehave and they see a unicorn running towards them, they know that this is the time to look for safety, because if that very horn gets hold of you, you are finished. So when David said, the Lord shall exalt my horn like the horn of a unicorn, he was talking about such a projection. So whenever the believer appears in the might of its horn, which stands for authority, even at far, the most strongest empowered demon takes safety. Because a horn of a unicorn is not a horn to play with. So today, I want to talk about like the horn of a unicorn, the authority of the believer, and then relation to anointing. Are we on the same page? Amen. Good. So let's look into the word of God. Even though I believe I may have tackled issues of authority in some sub-series and messages concerning the anointing, I see it necessary to speak exclusively on the relationship between the anointing and power, which is authority. The anointing, which is our power, and then not authority. I believe that when I was talking about the levels of the anointing, that is another measure, another 1,000, I did some touches on the matters of authority. Okay? But I think that I have to treat it exclusively so that we understand authority, we understand anointing, and how these two work. Now, for us to be able to establish some clarity, we have to look at something that has been very common in the topic of anointing and an authority. We often use anointing and power interchangeably, or anointing and authority interchangeably, because both work together to define and highlight the position of a believer's strength. Whenever we want to talk about the strength of a believer, what defines and highlights the strength of the believer is the authority and the anointing coming together. So most times when we want to talk about power, we can use authority. Even the Bible normally uses power in representation and definition of what? Authority. Sometimes when we want to talk about anointing, we would use the word authority or power to talk about it. But no, they are not the same thing. They are very different. But because they work together to define the strength of the believer, most times we use them interchangeably. So today, we want to look at how different they are in terms of what? Application and then definition. Because they work together, in Psalm 92 verse 10, you saw what it says. It said, my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of what? A unicorn. And thou have anointed me with what? Fresh oil. There can't be authority without anointing. And whenever there's an anointing in place, it means that there's authority what? Backing that anointing. So they are always in action. Let me say, they are always together to generate or to define the strength of the believer. So if you want to know how strong you are as a believer, okay? When Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, when we want to know how strong you are, what gives us, what we are going to test, what we use to test the strength of the believer is first, the authority of the believer, and number two, the anointing upon the life of the believer. Do you get it now? So your strength is determined by your authority and what? The anointing in your life, which mostly represents what? Power. Now let's look at how they are so different among themselves. Now we're going to look at it in two phases. Number one, by definition, we look at what our anointing is, and by definition, we look at what authority is. Then we look at in application what anointing is, and in application what authority is. Are we on the same page?
God. Today I'll close very early. Hallelujah. Be a believer. Be a believer in the name of Jesus. How many believers do I have in the church here? Lift your hand. When you believe, I'll close early. Even my colleague brothers don't believe me. It is war.
Now, by definition, over the 40 plus messages that I've preached on anointing, one of the key things you see as the definition of anointing is that the anointing is the empowering presence. So we see the factor of empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit that enables a person to function in a divine assignment given to him or her. So the presence and empowerment of the Holy Spirit that enables you to execute your divine assignment, your eternity destiny, is anointing. So though you can have a destiny, you can have a divine assignment, your ability to execute it lies on what? The empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was leaving, he told the disciples that I will not leave you alone, but I'll send forth what? The Comforter. He will come and be in you and then not upon you. So in the book of John, the chapter 20, verse 21, if I'm right, the Bible said, and Jesus breathed unto them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That was the presence he gave them. But in Acts chapter 1, he told them, wait until what? The Spirit from above comes upon you. So then they shall be his what? His witness. So their divine assignment, their eternity destiny was to what? Bear witness to what? The works of Christ and who Christ was. But they needed the empowerment of what? The Holy Ghost. But they already received the presence of the Holy Ghost. So if anybody is born again, any human being can accurately live to fulfill what God created the person, the person must first have the presence of the Holy Spirit. That comes by regeneration of the Spirit through salvation. So if you are not born again, you have not discovered destiny. Underlined. Any person who's not born again has not discovered destiny. You are doing things on your own. You are just doing. Remember, I explained last time using the boat app and the driver coming to you, okay? So when you order a ride and the driver comes, you can decide to go offline with the driver, is that not so? And you still reach wherever you are going to, right? But the system or the boat company does not recognize at that instant that you are on their out, on their radar. If anything happens to you, on your own. And then there are those who also say, who insist that the driver that we should what, use the system. So those who go offline are people who have not discovered their destiny. Even though they are born, God sent them onto this earth.
Hallelujah. Please, I'm just making an example.
Okay, so even though God sent them onto this earth, God is the one who orchestrated everything. He said to Jeremiah, before you became a blood cloth, I already ordained you. God has ordained what he wanted them to do. It is their decision to subscribe to the pathway that God will take them through. So they can decide at a point to switch off and do things on their own. Divert, detour, everything. That's why God calculates all these things into our destiny. It's not always that we are obedient to the path of God. So if you're not born again, God does not even know that you have started at all. So it is on. They know that, okay, you have the app, but you have not. That is the Spirit of God. The app is the Spirit of God, but the Spirit has not been activated. There's no movement. Are you there? So you can only be on divine assignment accurately when there is the presence of what? The Holy Spirit and His empowerment. That is what? Anointing. So I always say that anointing is the evident manifestation of God's presence and power in the life of an individual in executing divine what? Mandate. So now, when that individual receives the empowerment, it breaks into, let me say, five or four major evidence. Number one, you see spiritual power in the life of the person. Power. Spiritual power. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and you shall receive power. So when anointing is upon somebody, power is what? Visible. Okay? Number two, you see the spiritual gifts and activations of them. When somebody is anointed, one of the evidence you see is that the gifts, the spiritual gift, especially in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, they are activated and they are visible. So the gift of faith, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, please help me with some, descending of spirit, which one have I left? There are nine, right? Working of miracles. All these gifts are released or are activated in the life of the person. Are we on the same page? Another thing you see by a person who has received the anointing, that is the presence and empowerment of God, is that the person has divine ability to minister, to serve. You see, the work of God can never be done by manual strength. The reason why some of us are able to do what we are doing is because there's an ability to serve. It is an evidence that the Holy Spirit. Yes, one evidence that shows that somebody has had contact with anointing is the ability of the person to minister. So it is not enough to have the gift. It's not enough to see the evidence of the gift, but the ability to minister it to people. That means that you become a solution providing person. People's lives are transformed because of what you do. Are you with me? So there are people who are gifted, but they don't have the anointing to minister it. Are you on the same picture? So one evidence of the anointing in terms of the individual working anointing is that the person is able to what? Minister. Then the last one is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit as the product of the abiding anointing. One thing you notice about somebody who has the Spirit of God present and empowering him or her is that the person is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That means that the person has a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That means that the person is careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So not only is the person able to relate to the Holy Spirit as a source of empowerment, he relates with him as a person. He knows the person, Holy Spirit. And that is an evidence of an anointed person. Are we on the same page? So in the book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 27, it said, the abiding anointing shall teach you. The abiding what? Anointing. Now, what is in summary, the definition of anointing is in Acts chapter 10 verse 38. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with Holy Ghost and with what? Power. That is a summary of anointing. So anytime you want to define the concept anointing, Acts chapter 10 verse 38 defines what anointing is. But what is authority? Authority is the legal right or delegated power to act in one's name. And in this context, in God's name. In this context is what? God's name. It is a badge or permission given by a higher authority, in this context God, that clears you
to represent Christ and exercise dominion. Most importantly, spiritual dominion. So you see the difference. So when we talk about authority, we are talking about legal issues here. We are talking about right to do. Whether you have the right to do. Whether you have the right to what? To do. So whenever we talk about the authority of the believer, we are talking about the legal rights that the believer has to be a representative of Christ. In other words, the right to take, to speak in the name of Christ, okay? To act in God's interest, to do in the name of God, is what we call authority. Are you following me now? So if you said you are sent by God, you must prove the legal backings of God sending you. Are you with me? So it's not the same as the ability to do, empowerment. This is the right to do it. Are we on the same page? Let's look at some scriptures. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. So the ability to exercise spiritual dominion is because you have the legal right to do so. You are a representative of Christ with the permission to act in his interest. Are you with me? Let's read this. Behold, I give you authority. You see, the Bible is clear here. It says, I give you power. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpent and not scorpions. So it is not the anointing that makes us trample over them. It is the legal grounds. That is why you can tell, when we talk about serpent and scorpions, it represents their demonic world. You know, the Bible calls the serpent, you know what the serpent stands for, you know what scorpion stands for, okay? So our ability to trample over them is not because we are too powerful. It's because as representative of Christ, we stand at a place where we have what it takes. Legally, it is right for me to step on them. I'm permitted. So if I step on a scorpion, or I walk on it, or a serpent, it has no right to bite me, because the legal right given to me is that I have right to what? They should be under my foot. Are we on the page? Do you understand it now? Good. So that is what authority stands for. And overall, the power of what? The enemy, and nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. So in essence, authority protects you. The anointing gives you the ability to do. So whenever you are acting or doing something by empowerment, your safety is guaranteed on what? Your authority. Let me give you an example here. My brother here, okay, so is Kabela around? Where is Kabela? Kabela is a chartered accountant to be, or is working as an accountant. Now, he has the understanding by empowerment to know how to audit, right? And then work on the books to make sure that everything is according to what? The right trade and then transactions. That is ability. If Kabela decides that because I have the ability to audit books, he goes for the account of his boss, then put him through the fair auditing and publish it, his safety of not being beaten up, sacked, are you listening to me? Legal actions against him is whether he has the authorization to do so, not that he has the ability to do. Now, if by the employment status given to him, authorize him that even his boss, he can make sure that he's working according to books. If he does so, nothing will happen to him. No legal issue, no threat of sack can have take it place. You get the picture now? So even though you may have the empowerment to cast out demons, okay? You may have the empowerment to do certain deliverances. Your safety after those acts is whether or not you have the authority. And this brings me to what? You remember the story in Apam? When one lady went to pray for deliverance for another girl, and then South Africa has to come and help that one who did it. The deliverer needed a deliverance. You just got born again. You have not even gone through the process. I hope you know who I'm talking about, right? Remember the story? You forgotten? I do remember the person was in our 16. Okay. But the purposes of the message, let's move on. But I know I'll remind you guys later. So the reason why he was attacked could be that it's not only, but could be that she acted beyond authority allowed assigned to her, even though she had empowerment. So although the person was delivered, the spirits who were in control of that person, they went to what? Check out and find out to what legal grounds could she do such a thing, even if she had money. And when they found that all she has abused power, they said, okay, then you have to face the court, legal consequences. So the hand got swollen. Her hand got swollen. The hand began to swell. Hope you understand the whole thing now. Find verse of the scripture. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and what? Authority over all demons to what? Cure diseases. So he didn't just give them power, which is what? The anointing. He also gave them legal backing, access, right to operate. Says that when they are done, they are safe. Now, when we start looking into why this, I'm talking about safety, you understand it. When we start diving into the matter of authority. You see, the Bible, generally on surface, don't rush to be helped, grow to understand how certain things are done, else you'll be victimized. Are we on the same page now? Good. Therefore, in simple terms, the believer's authority is simply the name of Jesus. Whenever we talk about the believer's authority, we are talking about the name Jesus. Okay? Philippians chapter 2 verse 10. The name of Jesus is the believer's what? Authority. So whenever you have right of operation, means that you have the name of Jesus. It's not that you mention the name. You have the name. You have what? The name. It's not at the mention of the name. It's at the name. Let's read. The scripture says, at the name of what? Jesus. What happens? Every knee should what? Bow. That's authority. Of those in where? In heaven. And of those on earth, second jurisdiction. And under the earth, the third jurisdiction. So there are three compartments that there are three realms that exist. We have the realm of God, the heavenly. We have the realm which is beneath the earth, which is hell. Okay, hell does not mean the fire. Hell was a compartment of five. Now one is no more there. Go to hell. It's a whole region on its own. We have Tartarus over there. Okay? So we used to have a place of comfort in hell. That was where the rich man lifted his head and saw Lazarus. Not in heaven. Lazarus was not in heaven then. Now, that place is no more, because when Jesus died and rose, he took all those captive with him. So they all went with him. So when you go to the reign of hell, which is in the right where they call it S-E-O-U-L. I don't know how to mention that, so I don't like mentioning it. Whether it's Seo or Sheol or So, I don't know. So I normally avoid and I spell it and I move on, okay? You see, it's not by force, okay? Nobody can force me to mention it. So it's a whole region. Now, that region also operates, and that region, the authority over that region is given to what? There's a compartment there called the lake of fire that is locked up. There's Tartarus, okay? And then there's a place called place of torment. That is where those who are not born again, or those who didn't know Christ, when they die, now that is where they go now. They are in the place of torment. That they have been tormented there. Are you with me? God. So even in that place, at the name Jesus, you can operate over there. So the operations of the believer is not limited to the earth realm. That's why I said authority talks as spiritual dominion. Our operation also goes beyond the earth realm, where we can be able to fix certain things in that region beneath the earth. There's a region that we can fix things. Because the Bible said the gate of hell means that it is able to what? Have access and then comes into those things. You get my point? So at a time we sense that there is an operation from the gate of hell, we have the legal right by the name Jesus given to us to go in for an operation, special ops over there to sort situations out. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you following me? Are we on the same page? Good. So the name of the strength of the believer, or the authority of the believer, is the name Jesus. So when you have access to the name Jesus, it means that you have been authorized to be his representative. Okay?
Now, that is the definition. Now, let's look at the application. Now, in application, I'm going to do illustration, then you understand what I'm trying to say. Application. Let's use the security system or the security unit as our illustration for application. In the matter of illustration, when it comes to authority, using the security as an operation, the authority of a person as a law enforcement personnel or a security personnel is in the uniform and the badge that the person puts on. He can be your brother. When he's wearing the uniform, he ceases to be your brother at that point. He is a law enforcement person over there. At that point, you are not seeing your brother. You are seeing the government in power. Do you get it now? So it can be your kid brother who you used to knock. In public, if you don't know and you knock him, you'll be in trouble. You could, let's say, it's just friendly knock. But they'll tell that you have knocked the government. That is what they'll tell you. You've touched the government. God, what made him government is the uniform he's wearing at that moment. So you wait. When he takes it off, whatever you want to do, he's not government anymore. When he wears it, fine. You get it? So when you get to the house, I hope you get the point I'm making here. So in application, it is the uniform that a person wears. Now, it was this that Apostle Paul was teaching the church in Romans chapter 13 verse 4. This is illustration Paul presented in the book of Romans. Now listen to what he said. He said, Romans chapter 13 verse 14. Sorry. I hope you are following me. So we are looking at the illustration of authority. Authority is in application. As I give the illustration, the uniform of a security personnel. So you will know the authority of two different services by the uniform they wear. I don't know if you get it. When the CID boss dresses up and the IGP dresses up, you will know by uniform the authority difference. Is that not so? So that is how it is. Now, Paul taught us this. Listen to what I say. He said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, put on your authority. And make no provision for the flesh to what? Fulfill its lust. The believer must put on. See, when you have access, when you have received the authority, you must what? Put it on. Put on the whole armor of what? God. Here he said, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this put on simply means consciously take on the nature, character, and lifestyle of Jesus Christ. That is all. Consciously take on the nature. Take it on wherever you go. So, by application, we put on. Authority is something we put on. So when we see you, that's why you see. Those of you have listened to people who claim that they had some sort of engagement with certain spirits and have operated in certain different realms apart from Christians. They tell that anytime they see Christians, they see certain identity on them. True of us. Some say you see a star on their forehead. They have many ways they present it. Have you heard of that? Because your authority is something you put on. The reason why they don't touch you is not because of the anointing. It's the authority, the name Jesus you put on. So at every instance where the believer does not consciously put on Christ, the believer makes himself vulnerable. I don't know if you get my point. The access to you, one reason that they can assess you and attack you is on the fact that you didn't put on the authority. You didn't put on Christ. Am I building some point here? Good. Now, in the matter of the anointing, that security personnel, although may be given a badge, may be given a uniform, that recognize or that given recognition as a person of what? Authority in that capacity. That person cannot be effective in that authority if the person is, number one, not equipped
So when we come to the illustration of the anointing is where that security person who has been groomed, no, who has been enrolled and robed, okay, in the security uniform and a badge, is equipped. Every tool needed is given to the person. The equipment is both physical and intellectual and then emotional training. So the person is equipped, the person is trained. Sorry, the person is trained, the person is equipped, the person is given the needed tool to deliver the demands of the uniform placed on him or her. Now, when you put on Christ, it is a demand on you. Do you know it's a demand on you? The Bible said that the earnest expectations of what? Creation what? Looks after the manifestation sons of God. Now, when he came as a son of God, he manifested himself. Now, he has become what has been given to you. You have put it on. So, they see Christ when they see you. Now, whenever they see Christ, there is always a demand they put on Christ. So, if you are born again, I always say that if you're a Christian, one of the evidence that shows that you are growing is that people begin to make certain requests of you that has a spiritual impact in their life. When people generally come to that, pray for me. It's even that they are seeing Christ. Are you with me? When people bring issues to you that are of spiritual weight and essence, and they believe that you have what it takes to bring solution to them, it's not you that they see now. It is Christ they see in you. So even though you may be a very young boy, in fact, I'm the last born among my siblings, but I'm the pastor. Anything, they'll call me. My elder brother will call me. And the first thing is, when it is an issue, they call me pastor. When it's not an issue, bless. So I know the difference. When my big brother calls me and says, bless, I know, okay, everything is fine in the house. You're just going to have a normal talk. When he calls a pastor, I say, ah, something, the devil has messed up again. I need to fix something in the house. Now, when he calls me pastor, he's referring to the identity I carry, the authority I carry, which is Christ I've put on. And therefore, they are placing demand. And Christ knows that the moment you put him on, there will be demand. So there is an empowerment of what? The Holy Spirit, which comes in the forms of the tools you need, equipments you need. You are fully empowered. So that at the demand. So the other day, Peter looked at the man. The man was in need of something. You see, even though physically the heart of the man was asking for physical things, spiritually, he saw the soul of the man needing liberation. I want to walk. Peter did not only see the physical need of the person, but he saw what the soul of the man was crying for. There are two different things. Do you know that at a given time, your flesh can be crying for something, your body, and your spirit or your soul can be saying another thing else. Their needs are not the same. Okay? Hunger is the need of the body. But the soul can be hungry, not which is not a physical hunger. Can be starved of attention. Do you get it? So when the man at the beautiful gate saw Peter and he said he looked to them that he would gain something from them, Peter did not only see the physical needs of the man, he saw beyond what was his ultimate need. I need to be made whole. I need deliverance. God didn't create me in this nature, and therefore I have seen Christ, the one who created me, the one who perfected me. He is here. I see him in you. So I cry out and place demand on you. And Peter, being equipped, not only had authority, being equipped, said that gold and silver, I don't have that one here. But the ultimate one I can give you. By the authority on me, I have what I can give you. I'm equipped to give you. I'm equipped to help you. Get up and walk. Now, the Bible said that when the people are amazed, why are you amazed as if it is by my might I did this? He said, it is Christ, the authority I put on. I pray for you. You don't know what you put on. You don't know. You are not empowered. You are not anointed you are anointed because of what you are putting on. Christ. So the people see Christ. They see Christ and they place demand. So what will be the problem here? If they see Christ and they place demand, and then you are not equipped enough for that kind of delivery, you see that there will be an issue. So it is not enough to put on Christ. You also need to be trained. You need to have the capacity. the intellectual capacity, everything you need. You need to be equipped. That's why we train you. You teach you. We give you. See, when you can't. That's why we give you opportunity to pray, lead, or do all kinds of things. That is why at some point, Daddy Joe has to organize a structure whereby we go for crusade. Not because we carry you there to go evangelize, oh, so that you can also practice how we heal. It's training. One day, somebody will ask you for deliverance of ulcer. Then you remember, I have been trained and I have that training. I know how it is handled. Before you became a professional nurse, you already started in school, right? You were using some of us for practicals. Were you authorized? No. You were trained then. But you know, although people think they're authorized, they give them uniform. That's why they wear uniform. The reason why the tertiary school, the nursing training, they wear uniform is to authorize them. Even though they are not licensed, they are authorized. So they don't, you see, when they go to school, then when they put on uniform, they can use you for practicals as long as they are in their uniform. Anything happens to you, not to happen to them. After all, they are short, they are protected, they are safe. Their uniform protects them. So you see, in the uniform, that's why you cannot do anything if you're not in uniform. True of us. Yeah. But the moment they put on that uniform, they can do anything to you. Take them anywhere, they will be protected. They acted in their authority. But in that authority, they are trained. Then in some few years, they will license them. And they'll still put them on what? Housemanship or internship. And then they'll be learning. Then one day, the huge case will come. Those who train them will not be there anymore. Those who gave them that, they will not be there anymore. Then you will be faced with your situation. But do you know why they don't get scared? Sometimes when you come to the hospital, you see that your issue is so serious. They look at you and they laugh. They are calm. Because they have seen this before. They've done it before. It's not a problem to them. So whilst you think that your issue is too huge, when you come, do you know why Peter never, it was not something that scared him when he has to raise Tabitha from death? Do you remember in the book of Matthew chapter 10, there was Jesus gave them authority and they went out. And they did, the guys have practicals, they were trained. So when the authority was given to them, and they know the training that they have, it was too easy for them to face anything. So it is not enough to be, I have Christ in me. It's good. You put on Christ, your character, everything. But the thing is, when demand is placed on that Christ, can you deliver? So your training is a reflection of the true nature of your authority. That's why a nurse cannot be trained as a health, as a teacher. Because the authority to operate is not there. To go and teach in the... that's why we have teachers training. We have what? The nurses what? Training. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? So in 1 John chapter 1 verse 2 to 27, the Bible said, the anointing that is in you, abide in you, shall teach you. That is the illustration of the practicality of what? Anointing. So you see that the anointing and authority, they are never the same. You heard it now. Are you on the same page? Can we move on now? Go. Therefore, the authority and anointing defines and highlights the strength of the believer, which is what the believer can do. Now, this is why I'm going to bring out this scripture today. We talk about the Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Authority and anointing defines and highlights what the strength of the believer. And when we talk of the strength of the believer, what we are trying to say is what the believer can do. Now, listen to what Paul said over here. I can do what? All things through what? Christ, who does what? Strengthens me. The strengthening of Christ over here talks about the authority conferred in you as his representative and the power. So Paul said that I may know him. Authority. And the power of what? Of his resurrection. So if you are here, he said you can do all things. You want to confirm. What you are saying is that number one, you have received the conferment of authority on you. Number two, you are equipped, trained, and you have the tools to deliver. Because it is Christ who is what? In charge of all. And this is where the strength of the believer is defined from. So the strength of a believer is because of authority and what? Anointing. Don't quote that scripture if you don't know what you are implying. When I stand here and say I can do this, it's because I know that I have received authority, number one, and I have received equally the training to deliver that thing. Paul, in the peak of his ministry, said that with the training I've received with Christ, with the exposure I've had, the anointing working on my life, and the authority at my stake, there is nothing I can do.
There's nothing that I cannot do. Is it sickness? I'll cure it. Is it teaching? I'll teach. Is it deliverance? I'll deliver. Is it raising from death? So Eutychus, when he was sitting at the top, the Paul saw him and said, okay, well, if you even die, I can do all things. So he continued his teaching. The gentleman fell. He died. He went there and said, okay, I have been trained to do this. So he just called him back to life and continued his teaching. That was the level of boldness Paul had. And this didn't come because it was just a reciting word. It's because he is sure of the training he has received, the tools at his at stake, the equipment he has spiritually, that he understood the authority upon his life. So some of us, we have to start saying we can do some things because we have not been fully trained. So as we grow in the Lord, then we are increasing the things we can do. You know, when you were born again, at first, you at least, there's some you could pray. At least you're able to pray, right? But now you only don't pray, you can be able to pray for others too. And there will be a manifestation. So our sister Blessing, I was here sharing that, oh, and I told her that the mother will walk in 3 months, whereas medically, it's supposed to be a minimum of 1.5 years. Sister, I didn't just get up and say it because I feel like saying it. I knew what I was doing. I know that I had that strength of God at work in me. I can do it. So I made a statement knowing very well my authority and anointing will back it. We are not equal. So you have to know where you can also say, I can do this thing. See, Paul said all things. Yes, we can do all things, but you have to make sure that there's a corresponding strength, which is authority and what? Anointing. Hallelujah. Okay. So you see that Jesus, who was the model for our Christian life, was able to show us by his lifestyle that he was able to do all things on this earth through authority and then what? Empowerment. Let's look at two things here. Jesus had both authority, and his authority was conferred on him as the Son of God. The book of Matthew chapter 7 verse 29. Let's read it. The authority of Christ, you know, when he came on earth, the Bible said in the book of Philippians that though he was equal with God, he let go of all that nature. Okay? So now when he came on earth, he needed to be authorized. Do you understand? So his authority was in the nature of the seed, incorruptible seed that conceived him, the Holy Spirit himself. So he was born as the Son of God. Not from anybody. That's why he was not a product of man to man. It was God who together with man brought out. So he was directly taught the direct. Now, let me explain the concept, the Son of God here. Okay, let me do a little theology. The word Son of God means anything that comes from the direct material of God. God is the parent material. Means that if you want to trace that very product, the material nature of that product, you see it as a direct what? Material of God. That God is the source of that direct material. So you find out that Adam, in the book of Luke, when the genealogy of Jesus was being mentioned, and they was traced all the way to Adam because he was man, and therefore they have to prove that Jesus is man. You know, the four gospels were talking about the various dimensions of Jesus. Matthew spoke of him as a king, okay? Mark spoke of him as what? A servant. And a servant has no genealogy. So if you check the book of what? Mark, there's nothing like genealogy about Jesus. Because a servant has no genealogy. No servant has no genealogy. Nobody even asks who is your father. Because you're a slave. You get it? Then in the book of Luke, he was presented as man. And the first man on earth was what? Adam. Therefore, he has to identify with the first man of what? On earth. And when they trace the genealogy, the Adam, Son of God. So Jesus was the first one called the Son of God. In the book of Job, we find out they said the sons of God. He was talking about the angels, because angels are direct materials, a product of the direct materials from God. And that is authority here. So when you saw that when Adam was brought forth, he had the authority to name, like God naming things. Is that not so? So Jesus' authority to operate was proven that he is the Son of God, because he was the direct material from God. And he is the only begotten. The rest are not begotten. We are adopted sons. The other were made sons. So Adam is the made son of God. The angels were made, but Jesus was begotten, born. And we are adopted through Christ.
So you see the levels of the sonship in the Bible. So the authority of Jesus as the begotten, the only begotten son, has to be proven. So in Matthew chapter 27, for he taught them as one, having what? Authority, and not as the what? The scribes. They are different. He taught them as the author of the word, authority. You get it? Then number two, Acts chapter 10 verse 38, we hear that how God anointed Jesus Christ with what? Holy Ghost and what? With power. So Jesus, who is the model for our Christian life, proved his essence on this earth through authority and power. And the strength of Jesus was seen in the combination of what is authority and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Two things. Let's go there. Number one. When these two things came together, we find out that this authority and then empowerment, which is the anointing, made Jesus, was able to make Jesus to deal with demons and their works from the position of strength. Now listen to the testimony of demons. Matthew chapter 8 verse 29. Just move the next two verse. When Jesus was proving to them that he's the Son of God and with empowerment, listen to what they said. And suddenly they cried out saying, what have we done to you, Jesus? You are Son of what? God. Have you come here to torment us before our time? That is a person from what? A place of what? So they are challenging their time of what? Execution. We are not saying that you don't have the authority to deal with us and you don't have the power to deal with us, but we don't think it is time for you to act now. You get it? So demons, of false powers, recognize him from the point of strength, that he's somebody who has the right to deal with us. And that's what it takes to deal with us. But we are just trying to negotiate our timelines. So yeah, they were negotiating timelines. That, please, we know you have the right, you have got the empowerment, but can we consider the timeline? Because Adam's lease has not expired. So we still have right of operation in this old territory. You get a picture now. Number two, the authority of God, or the authority of Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, was so evident that nature aligned to him whenever he commands them. The endless manifestations of the sons of God said that creation cries for them. Nature saw the Son of God. In the book of Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, have we read that? 27. Matthew chapter 8, verse 27. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the wind and the sea ought obey him? It does not such kind of thing in their time that he said, be still, and the wind was still, and the sea obeyed. The sea is the deviant creature. It doesn't listen to anybody. See, if you ask sailors, they tell you that the sea, it is more dangerous to travel on the sea than any form of movement, because the sea is a deviant creature. Doesn't but the Bible said when the Son of God manifested himself in the authority and in power, even nature, so the people marveled. These are fishermen who knows, understand the territories of operations on the sea, and when they saw what happened, they said they marveled, who could this be? The strength of Jesus was so strong in evidence. So if the believer has to be taught anointing, then we have to also equally teach the believer the concept of authority, so that authority and anointing can produce the right strength the believer needs and can say, I can do all things, or I can do this, because Christ, through authority and then anointing, has strengthened me for it. That's why I want to talk to you about authority. So have I convinced you now? Amen. So what is the matter of authority? I have to make sure that I prove to these people that I'm closing on time. Hallelujah. Amen. Do I have believers here? Do I have believers? Let me see my hands. They didn't come to church. So the matter of authority, okay? To establish the understanding of the believer's authority, we have to look at how Apostle Paul presented it in the book of Colossians. So I want to use Colossians to establish the concept of authority, the right of the believer. Okay. Now, follow me very well. In the things of the spirit, okay? Spirit, the spiritual world. Legality is the highest order. Everything done in the spirit must follow the legal framework established by God. And if there be any chance that you do not obey it to the latter, spirit will come after you. So authority is very essential in terms of when it comes to training people in exercising God's power. Because that's their safety net. Now, Colossians. The book of Colossians was written to establish just things. The supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. Because of time factor, I don't want to take you back. But see, Colossae was one of the Gentile towns where we had the Jew and the Gentiles all alike over the who were Christians. Now, it's Epaphras. Do you know Epaphras, right? The son of Paul. He was the one who started the church in Colossae. So when the church started, the Jewish culture, the tradition, the Greek philosophy and everything were coming up. And one of the things that was became a central teaching and conflict over there was on the matter of whether Christ is enough. As at that time, most of them knew him as a person who came in flesh, who lived among them, not so far from their generation. Do you get it? So the question was Christ the only sufficiency for the believer, or the other things we can add to it? Then when Paul heard the situation, as Epaphras contacted him, then he has to write to the church there to address the supremacy of Christ and the sufficiency of Christ. And that's where the principle of authority was so established. I'll show you. Let's move on. This supremacy and sufficiency of Christ is to the believer is established on the fact that Christ, number one, is above all powers. So you can see that in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 to 17. We'll come back to that. And because he's above all powers, he is fully what? God. Because it's only God who is above what? All powers. So in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, he spoke about Jesus as what? God. The omnipotent. So Christ is omnipotent. So he's above all powers because he's what? He's God. And if he be God, the believer is complete in him. He doesn't need any other person. So in Colossians chapter 2 verse 10, he made it clear that the believer is what? Is complete in him because he's above all powers, and he is God because he's above all powers, and that the believer is what? Is complete in him. And thus, we do not need anything beyond Christ. We don't need anything beyond Christ. So the people wanted to separate Christ from God and say that, okay, you can have Christ, but you have to need other things. So I can have the... No, I said, no. The Christ you have is complete. You don't need any other thing. Now, the picture I want to paint for you here is the matter of authority in this matter here. The clarity Paul gave in Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 concerning the all powers. Watch. All powers. When Paul wanted to let the believer know that Christ is the supremacy, okay? And because of that supreme nature of God given to us as access, and it gives us the access to what in our field of operation, he has to explain to the believers the level of authority structures God has put in place in his kingdom. And then show the believer where he belongs in that level of authority structures. Are you following me? Do you understand? So I want to show you authority so that you understand the authority, what we are talking about here. In solving the issue of supremacy, Paul has to give clarity to the structures of authority and operation in the realms of power according to God's kingdom. Now, this is not about the devil. So follow. For him, all things were created, that in heaven and that are on earth, visible and what? Invisible. Whether thrones, visible or what? Invisible. Or dominions, whether visible or what? Invisible. Or principalities, visible or what? Invisible. Or what? Or powers. I want to take you through these four and we would wrap up quickly. Number one, Paul was establishing the fact that the believer, the Christ you have, you must understand in the structure of the spiritual world which God has created. He even created the spiritual world in ranks and in levels of operation. These ranks and levels of oppression, Christ is above it. But he wants to let them know. He said, thrones. What are thrones? Thrones represent the highest level of authority and proximity to God's rule. Thrones are therefore associated with divine governance, judgment, and administration of God's will. In essence, they reflect his justice and governance and authority. They are supreme authority closest to God's rule. And I want to show you what is a throne. Revelation chapter 4 verse 4. See, let's look at the throne. Powerful. Thrones. So they are the highest rank of what? Oppressing the spirit realm. And this oppressing here, we are talking of the spirit realm. And sometimes we have it seeped out into the physical realm. So we are talking about heavenly beings here. Follow me. It's not you. I'm talking about heavenly beings over here. So before you came into the picture, this system is already there. This order of operation is there. This order of operation, where do you belong? You don't belong to any. You belong to where Christ is. That's what Paul is trying to tell them. But look at how powerful this one said. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders. So what the Bible mentions elders in scriptures, in heavenly places, they are talking about thrones, highest operation. You are above them. Now, these elders, they have job they do. That's what I'm giving you. They administrate God's will. They are powerful people. Very powerful. There are some angels who are also promoted in that level of ranks. So, beings, celestial beings, spiritual beings, God has created some who are called, who have thrones, and they are 24 elders. They are there. I don't know. Whatever form of being they are, I don't know. But I know that there are elders who sit on thrones. And these people, they are the highest authority in that dimension of operation. Proximity to God's rule. So when the throne of God is there, they sit around the throne. Number two, dominions, also called lordship. Follow me. These are rulers or administrators under the authority of the thrones. So now, when the thrones sit with God and counsel is taken, when they are in act of or delivering their counsel, the people under their command is called the Lord, dominions, lordship. Let's look at them. Philippians chapter 1 verse 21. Their job is to regulate lower and oversee lower ranking spiritual beings by delegating authority and ensure order in God's kingdom. So it is dominions that ensure order in God's kingdom. Now, if you read the book of Joel, they all say that they march in order and nobody crosses out its rank. Whenever you see order, it means dominion is at work. Those lordship, the lords, there are lords over there. That's why I say that for the order in ranks, you see that there's a lord, lord commander. Have you heard of that one before? Lord commander. And he has a group of people he controls. So they oversee the lower ranks and ensure that there is order in the kingdom of God. God is a God of order. Ephesians 1, 21. Far above all principality and powers and might and what? Dominion. So, you see, Paul was talking about where we are seated. Do you remember? We are seated above dominion. And dominions are very powerful thrones, powerful people. Do you know a dominion? Let me tell you, a dominion is powerful than an archangel. Do you know God sent just one archangel to destroy how many armies? So you see which kind of people we are talking about over here. Quickly, let's move on. In essence, they enforce what God decided at the throne level. They are administrators of divine governance. So they administrate divine governance. So when governance decision is taken at the throne, before the throne of God, they are the ones to make sure that it is what administrated, administrative force of God. And they ensure it. Order. The third one is principalities. They are also called first rulers or chiefs. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, these things I'm talking about, they are not demonical. I mean, this is God's system of operation for the celestial beings he has created. Now when I talk of principalities, they are territorial or jurisdictional rulers often associated with oversight over a region. So we have the principality of Africa. Dominion is greater than principality. So just imagine.
Yeah. They are chief princes over specific domains, mostly often physical domains. So if you read the book of Daniel chapter 10, you see he was talking about princes. So anytime you hear the Bible talk about princes, he's talking about principalities. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 said, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities. This is not evil principalities. He's talking about the principalities, the celestial beings. You see, they did not understand the wisdom of God about the church. You see, up to now, they search into the matter to know what exactly and what loves these people. They search into the matter. So for them to be able to get answers, the church reveals that wisdom of God in the way we do things, and then the principalities will now understand. So anytime, let me give an example. Now, the principality of Ghana here acts upon our direct, how we behave. I don't forget what I'm trying to say. To make known. So the assignment of the church in Ghana here, it requires a principality to ensure that something according to God's design for Ghana is done. That wisdom is in the church. Now, when the church acts, the principality takes that and then you begin to act upon it. So we strengthen the hands of the principality. It's not a demon. There are principalities that are created by God, but you are above them. Let's move on. Last one. Powers. These are authorities that carry out delegated tasks. These are angels and other beings that carry out. So, you see, the principalities and dominions can give a delegated task to our powers. Let me give you a scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22. I hope I'm not saying something that is so much above us over here. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page? Are you still at Philippians? I said 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 22. 1 Peter 3, 22. Have you found it? Who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities, and what? Powers. Having been made subject to what? To him. He's talking about Jesus. So there are powers who perform delegated tasks. So let me give an example of a power at work. You remember that Peter was arrested. Do you remember that story? And the Bible said the church made prayers, unceasing prayers, and an angel was sent. That angel is a power. He operated in that ranks of what? Powers. The task was go, rescue Peter, take him out. That was his task. So anytime there's a divine assignment that needs to be executed, powers, they are operational force of God. They operationalize it. So the throne make the decision. Dominions what? Supervise it. Do you understand? Principalities provide principal judgment over a territory, but the powers execute. These are the ranks in the kingdom. Do you know where you belong? Okay. So here's Paul's argument. Paul's argument is that these ranks of operation that is clearly established in the spirit realm, that even Satan has copied. So know that Satan copied this system. Ephesians 6 verse 12. You know, Satan doesn't have anything new. The attitude of Satan is clear that what God has done, he just copied and then runs it on his own model. So in Ephesians, you see there are four ranks. Is that also? So the ranks of God is in descending order. His own is in ascending order. You see his own principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of what? Wicked places in earth. So from him, principalities are first. You come to powers. Then you come, the next people are rulers of what? Darkness. This is where his dominion, the spiritual wickedness are what? His thrones. So there are wicked spirits that sit with Satan to devise what to do. Then they'll pass the information to rulers of darkness. Then the powers will execute it alongside principalities. So a witch is a principality. Yes, your fetish priest is a principality. He copied God's system. So you understand the picture now. So Paul's argument was that Jesus is the one who established even this powerful system that the people are teaching you to subscribe to. Do you get it? He's the one who established it. And that you do not belong to any of this one. You are above them because you are seated in what? In Christ Jesus.
The authority badge you are carrying is above these people. You have more clearance than them spiritually. Hence, anyone who has Jesus must understand that your place of oppression, authority, is beyond these ranks. Therefore, anyone who is trying to seek for another authority beyond what Christ has given is in the act of demoting him or herself. Do you get it? Yes. No authority is above Jesus. So you're saying to them that, hey, that teaching that they are teaching you, they just want you to demote yourself from where you belong. So Christ is enough. So the authority of the believer is so powerful, in fact, it's so serious that all these ranks that I've listed, you are above them.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have that authority in your spirit. So I have to tell you, the reason why you can go and tell that fetish priest in your village that today you, if you don't stop that nonsense, tomorrow morning you don't wake up, is because that power he's subscribing to, okay, that darkness that he's subscribing to is not even close to the powers of God. Not to talk of dominion. And you are operating even beyond them. So the instruction you're going to give him, can I share the testimony you gave yesterday? So yesterday we were seated here whilst we were down with the watch night. Then our elder told us something. The father has instructed him to oversee a construction of his work in a town I'll reserve the name for, something sick in the central region. And now central region is one of the places that sorcery, necromancy is so strong there. Central region needs more salvation than any other region in Ghana here. Volta region, we are better. So when he went there to start work, two people decided that they'll not allow him to do the work. So they came against him and they went to perform some spiritual things. And he went and prayed. Are you following him? These are very powerful people in the area there. Two people. Though he just went and prayed his normal prayer. Then he felt in his spirit that the prayer he has prayed, they'll die. So he went to go and talk to them. They just told him to leave because they didn't respect him. He left the following day. One person died. In a few days, the second person died. Now the elders and the leaders in the town summoned him. And then one of his uncle went to them. He's a pastor. They said, okay, no more summons. Leave him alone. The question is, why those do you know how old that throne that they have been servicing is? Do you know how old it is? Over years. That throne has been in that town. That force power has been in that town for many years. It has received the blood of men, animals, and all kinds of things. It is so strong and strengthened. How come this man, who is not even in his 40 years old yet, able to make an instruction in the realms of the spirit? And then those who are providing services over this throne were not covered. It's simple. He was even above dominion, above thrones. That instruction came from the highest. Oh, Mandala Messiah. And because he has been trained and he is equipped, when he made that instruction from his point of authority, the power to release, to make it work, was released. So in his spirit, he knew that he has already killed people. He wanted to salvage the situation, but it was not salvaged. So what kind of authority are you trying to seek for anymore? You get a picture now. So if Christ is not enough, so now today you hear there are a lot of things. The Christians are so scared now. Go and do this, go and do that. Even dominion, wicked places cannot even stand. It took one principality, Archangel Michael, to even silence their main boss. Said, God rebuke you. You Lucifer, God rebuke you. The Bible said, and Satan stood at the right hand side to what? Resist or Joshua, the high priest. And the Bible said, and an archangel, that is principality. Dominions were too above them. They are below. And you, who is even operating above thrones? You sit here in your status, telling me that weight can kill you. You are not serious. So I told Blessing, now your mom will walk in 3 months. She was attacked. So anybody who refused to let her walk in 3 months, the person is ready to take what is on her. And they all respected the instructions. When you come here, we tell that this will happen in your life. You are not talking because we want to talk. We know what we are saying. I am a Salavakaya.
Oh, the devil. Kiva brasata, Jesus.
So anytime you want to seek for another validation from another power, you have demoted yourself. So Paul has to come and counter the whole teaching and put the believer in his place and let him know that this authority is the supreme. Christ is sufficient. Now, how does this make connect to homes? And
as I said, I'll close early.
If you are tired, you can just signal me, then I'll just end it here and we'll pray and go. Are you tired? Should I continue? Do I have your permission? Oh, let me see my hands. Those who have permitted me to continue, I can wrap up. Oh, okay. Oh, so I should close. Okay, let me see my hands. Those who want me to continue. Oh, okay. Pastor Dennis, can I continue? Let's finish it. Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. I know you are really following me. I'm establishing something. You see, we teach anointing. You see, the strength of the believer is important. You have to make the believer must know how to what? Get how to be strong in the Lord. We have to know how to gain strength. Strength is important. Everything that is executed on the basis of strength. And strength is authority and anointing. So I can't teach anointing when I don't talk on authority. Now, let's look how authority works. In the Bible, horns stands for the visible expression of strength, which is evidence of authority in action. Why horns are representation of what? Authority is because when authority is in action, listen, there's authority and an authority in action. They are two different things. There is authority and there's authority not in action. Whenever authority is in action, the Bible likens it to what? Horns. Authority exists in the status of the believer. That is in the spirit realm. So if you read the book of Ephesians chapter 1, he said that we are above principality, powers, all those things in the earth, heavenly places. So the authority of the believer exists in the spirit realm, but you are a spiritual being, you are not a spirit being. Understand that. A spiritual being, that there's a component of you that is physical. So when that physical component of you begin to reveal that authority nature, then that is authority not in action. And when that authority is in action, its representation or symbol or anything close to reveal it is what? Horn. In other words, every animal is born with a horn. Most of the animals, like the goat and other stuff. But it takes time for you to see the visibility of the horn and what the strength of what that horn can do. So, when a lion wants to attack an animal, one of the things it carefully looks out for is the horn. When it finds out that, oh, this animal has, that's why the wild ox is not, has a big horn, very big one, a strong one. He knows that that animal, I have to be very calculative, because the least thing I do, I will be the sacrifice on the altar. So whenever the devil is coming after a believer, the first thing he looks out for is the horn. Where is that horn? That authority, has it come out? If it comes out, he doesn't. So the devil knows who he can attack. Now let's move in. Even though the Bible speaks clearly of the kind of authority at the disposal of the believer, which I've just established, this authority does not come into play automatically. The believer grows into it to make it visible like a horn. Luke chapter 2 verse 52. The authority of God, that is what you have given, the access, the right of operation, is not automatic. You must grow into it and make it visible. It has to come out like a horn. Not just like any horn. Like the horn of a unicorn. And Jesus increased in wisdom and what? Stature. Stature here is talking about what? Strength. Authority plus what? Anointing. And in favor with God and what? So Jesus increased. It was not automatic. So even though power is static, authority grows. That makes you, your strength grows. So our strength are not equal as believers. Yeah, it depending on what you are fed with, that will determine the strength you have. Do you get the difference now?
Good.
This manifest strength which is authority, is what determines what you can do and achieve. Now let me give you an example in the Bible, Daniel chapter 17 verse 20. Let's read about this four Hebrew guys. Daniel and his company decided not to feed on the delicacies of what? Babylon. Because they wanted to feed, increase in the strength of God. So because of protecting that purity of what? Authority on their life and anointing, they refused any other authority. Now, when the time of test came, let's listen to what the Bible says. It said, and for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding all visions and dreams. Now move on. Let's go. We are going to the verse 20. Quick. Now at the end of the days, can you get it? When all matters are settled, we are going to test strength. Let's see how it was tested. When the king has said that they should bring forth, they should be brought in, the chief of the end, is it, how do we use that word? Enoch brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them. A day will come, you'll be interviewed. And among them all, none was found like Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all. Do you understand the number 10? Whole. Complete. Authority. He found them having authority over all the rest than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all. So those they came to meet, those under them, those they graduated with them, they are not the same. They are hungry. This is what we call strength. Are you with me? Their horn grew. So if they didn't nurture that horn, therefore, the manifest strength, which is authority and the anointing, is what determines what you can do and achieve. So authority in action is the manifest strength. Now, why did David use the word unicorn to talk about the horn? In nature, especially with animals like the wild ox and everything, the horn is used to fight, to defend territory, and to establish what? Superiority. So the bigger, higher, and stronger the horn, the more feared the animal is, dominant it becomes, and victorious in its conflict. Now, if you look at the wild ox, among all those kinds and breeds of animals who have horns, the wild ox is the one who has the most stronger, the longer, bigger, and higher out horns. Therefore, the horn of the believer is the revelation of the manifest strength the believer in his daily walk with God has been able to what? Develop. Do you get it now? So when David was comparing his authority and anointing as a way of manifestation, he said it is like what? The horn of what? The question is, what kind of horn? Some of you are carrying the horn of a goat too. Not a billy one on the nanny goat. Some of you, the horn of a cocoa horn crab. Oh, Jesus. So whenever the believer is coming, the enemy is coming, he comes and he sees nothing. So, oh, as for this one, I can break it. But as someone, they see the authority they have and they see the horn they carry, they make sure that they are miles apart. Psalm 55 verse 6 to 7. I'm going to talk about an exalted. That has exalted my horn. So there's a difference between what, having the horn and it being what, exalted. So I'm going to just talk about the exalted and then we move on. We go. Psalm 75 verse 6 For exhortation comes from what? Neither from what? The east nor what? From the west. Nor from what? The south. Move on. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Follow. The next one. Is that verse 7? Is that verse 7? So you find out that when it comes to the horn authority, okay, when you grow your horn, you are not the one who exalts it. It is God. Now, David was saying that my horn have thou exalted like the horn of what? A unicorn. Means that if a believer, I'm going, okay, so let's get it. So what's an exalted horn? Let's look at it. An exalted horn, so I'm just talking about a developed horn, a horn in action, the one you have developed. Authority in what? Manifestation. But when the authority is developed, it is God what? Exalted. I'll explain. Time. Let me move on. An exalted horn is the horn that God has given visibility to. It is very effective in what it does and is very dominant in the place of operation. When you see God giving visibility to a person and the person is effective in what he does and dominant in what he's doing, that is a horn that has been exalted. Now let me explain this to you. When the believer develops his horn, that is authority and anointing, okay? God has to test the person to make sure that the person has passed the test of time so that that horn can be given visibility. Now, it's just like in the military, as I was talking about, there are what we call clearance level. That is access to information and what you can do. Is that not so? Before you get to the next clearance, you must have gone through certain test, whether it be what? Aptitude test or intellectual test or experience. When you have passed them, then that authority is now what? Exalted. That does not change you being a soldier. That says that this soldier has been given what? One more visibility. Are we there? Now this soldier has been made more effective and he will be dominant in what? The operations of what you are doing. So when we said exalted horn, we are talking about the strength of the believer, which is the authority and anointing which has been given visibility. So it's not enough to be anointed. Okay? It's not enough to develop in stature, that is your authority, the nature of Christ and everything. You must believe God for exaltation. It's God who exalts visibility. Now, how is this done? Visibility means God has brought the person into an open manifestation where their impact cannot be ignored. Acts chapter 19, verse 13 to 16. You see, when your horn is exalted, your impact is undeniable. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. Then some of the interior Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, are you following me? We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Move on. Also, there were seven sons of what? Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered, listen to, and a horn that has been given visibility. Paul is not dead though. Paul is alive. Listen to what the demon said. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. What did he say again to you? And Paul too, I ought, I know. That's an exalted horn. So when they mention the name of Paul, if I he said, yes, it's true. This guy is an exalted horn. His horn is like the horn of a unicorn. It's exalted. Very strong, very large, visible, very dangerous. So we know him. You come, let me check if you have a horn. The Bible said that they had no horn. So the evil spirit decided that they rather need deliverance. So the evil spirit went ahead to give them deliverances. That one spirit torn apart seven people and they ran out naked. Visibility. There's no way that when you have passed the test of exhortation, your horn will be as visible like that of a unicorn. So David said that even though Saul seek to kill me, even though I stood before Goliath I faced many things. My horn was exalted like that of a unicorn, and there was a fresh oil on it. Oh, I pray for you. You see, if we want to make influence, we must think of what exalted horn. Your target is that your horn will be exalted. Number two, effective. I said an exalted horn is that horn which is what God has given visibility to. Effective in what it does. Now let's have visibility. Effective. An exalted horn produces real results. Deuteronomy chapter 33 verse 17. I wanted to give you another scripture in the book of Acts. I forgot it. But in Acts chapter 4, they said this is a notable miracle, and nobody can deny it. That's what the people said. It's effective. Real results. His glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns like the horns of the wild ox. Are you following me? Together with them, he shall push the people to the ends of the earth. This was the prophecy upon one of the sons of what? Israel. He said his horns are like the wild ox. And what shall he do? Together with them, he shall push the people to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of what? Ephraim. Do you know that most of the powerful people in Israel in the Bible came from Ephraim? Joshua is an Ephraimite. And they are the thousands of what? Manasseh. Powerful people. So their results are real. You can't argue it. When the horns are exalted, you can't argue the results. Finally, dominance. It carries influence and rulership in its sphere. When somebody's horn is exalted, he dominates. See, we want to dominate the music industry, or let me say the entertainment industry. That's the right word to use. The commerce. Also, if we want to dominate the commerce, we need exalted horn, like that of a unicorn. We want to dominate politics. Our horns must be exalted like that of a unicorn. And that comes when we know our authority, grow in our authority, and then receive the right impact of our anointing. Then God will come to test us. And when the test is passed, he gives visibility. He makes us effective and makes us dominant. So you have heard that people are very anointed, but they die poor. Have you heard of that word before? It's because their horns were not exalted. And today I want to tell you one real truth about an anointed person. So, that's what I want to conclude with this. I'll tell you one truth that the Bible said about an anointed person. In Psalms 148, verse 14, let's see how dominance of the exalted horn works. Dominance. Psalm 148, verse 14. He has exalted the horn of his people. Are you there? The praise of his saint, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. Praise the Lord. The Lord exalted the horns of his people. And you see, till today, even a fragment of Israel is a dangerous one we are trying to handle in the world now. They are just a fragment. That's not the entire Israel. The one you see over there is just a fragment. 0.1%. We don't know where the rest of the 99.9% is. Even that's 0.2 or 3% of what Israel stands for now. They are surrounded by 8 strong enemies, very radical and powerful. But none of them tried to even cross their border. One crossed on October 2023. Until today, they are paying the price. And anybody who is affiliated to that attack, they are going after them. Because their horn was exalted. They are dominant. When the Bible said he has exalted the horn of his people, is it? They are dominant. They dominate architecture. AI tools they have. Somebody went to Israel and the testimony was that they even grow their food stars on the roof of their building and they are exporting it to us. They are dominant. Because their horns have what? See, some of us, we have to make our horn to be exalted that, see, our children, it will move on to them. The horn you have, it must be seen like that of a unicorn. That is where the believer is visible, is effective and dominant. So I said, like the horn of a unicorn, I'm talking about how the world must see the strength of God at work in you, in visibility, effectiveness, and dominance. This is not a time to play around anymore. It's not time to play anymore. So therefore, who is the Lord's anointed? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Who is the Lord's anointed? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. Listen to the testimony of Hannah about how God revealed to him his anointed.
Oh, Vela Messiah.
Who is the Lord's anointed? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken into pieces. From heaven he will tender against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. What he will do? He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. See, anytime God anoints somebody, the ultimate goal is that he wants to exalt his horn. He wants that authority at work on the person, that authority of Christ, should be visible enough, should be effective, and should be dominant. You see, that is the end goal of an anointed person's life. In this time, we will begin to raise believers whose horns are like the horn of a unicorn. No more goat horns. The moment we see some small horn, we think we have reached. No, 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 no. The horn God wants us to have, the ultimate horn. Now, take me back to Psalms 92, verse 10. Let's listen to what David said, because of the horn that has been exalted. Verse 11. What did he say? He said, I have been anointed with fresh oil because of the exaltation of the horn. That's the visibility. See, so this oil came with visibility and everything. Now, let's move on. Verse 11. Listen to what he said. Verse 11 and 12. We are reading those on them. We close. My eyes also have seen my desire or not, my enemies. My ears heard my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Let's take away the wicked and the enemies. Whatever you desire with your eyes to see, whatever you desire to hear with your ears, cannot happen without your horn being like the horn of a unicorn. You desire to be a millionaire, then the Lord must exalt your horn like that of a unicorn. Whatever desire you are having that you want to see, I don't know what you are dreaming of. I don't know what, you see, when we say see, I mean your imagination. I don't know what you are imagining. I don't know what your ears are picking up. But David was able to see the desires of him and upon his enemies because his horns were exalted. Dilama, I pray for you today. May the Lord exalt your horn. Some of you have gotten to that place where God will begin to exalt your horn. You have gotten to the place that your horn will be exalted. It is your season of visibility and dominance. And I begin to pray for those people over here. Anybody who has reached the place of dominance and visibility and effectiveness. Oh, Madila Makabasaya. I don't know what are your desires for this year. But I pray that the Bible said it is God who exalts. The Lord that exalted, the Bible said he exalts his anointed. I declare in the name of Jesus that this year, oh, it's a year of exaltation. Let there be visibility, Lord. Let there be visibility. Let there be visibility in their strength. If their strength is in finance, let there be visibility. Those of you that the Lord has earmarked for financial strength, you are earmarked to be moguls in finances. Those who the Lord has earmarked to be people who take over the political arena. Madekulane Messiah. Oh, your horns are exalted. I declare the exaltation of your horns in the name of Jesus. I declare the exhortations of your horns in the name of Jesus. The enemy must see the visibility of what the Lord has made you. I said we are taking over because the Lord has exalted our horn. And I declare your desires will come to pass. Your desires will come to pass. You will also rule the world. You will also be a billionaire. At your voice, demons will begin to flee. People will marvel.
Madilo Shaya, receive that anointing right now. Receive that empowerment right now. By the strength of God, you shall do it. The strength is coming upon you. I said that strength is coming upon you. Don't send the kapaya. It is time for exhortation. He said, that's how I exhort my horn, like that of a unicorn. I said, you will be visible. You will not be relegated at the back. At the workplace, you will be visible. I declare in the name of Jesus, at the workplace, you will be visible. It's a season of promotion.
It's a season of promotion. Oh, rise to your feet. I didn't come to teach people anointing who will not be visible, who will not be effective, who will not dominate.
We can't talk about anointing. At the end of the day, people will be anointed and people will be laughing at us. They said they are anointed, but they are poor. They said they are anointed, but look at them. They said they are anointed, but look at them. But David said, my horn has the Lord exalted like the horn of a unicorn. He said, my eyes have seen my desires on my enemies. Oh, and my ears has heard my desires on the wicked one who went against me. This time, it's not about the enemies we have been talking about. We have desires. Oh, we want to be supporting crusades that are in millions of dollars. And that is the desire. We want to be the ones, when we talk, the government will listen to us because we control 1/3 of the economy. We want to be the ones that at the sound of our voice, the world trembles because we are like Bill Gates. We are like Elon Musk. And I tell you, God is about to exalt those songs. I said, God is about to exalt those songs, sir. It's a year of visibility. The church shall be seen. I said the church shall be seen. And the people thereof, the lost people shall be seen. Out of Zion shall go forth the strength of the Lord. The strength of the Lord shall go forth out of Zion. And I declare that out of Zion, you are Zion. The strength of the Lord shall go forth. Oh, like the horn of a unicorn, your visibility shall be seen. Like the horn of a unicorn, your dominance shall be seen. Like the horn of a unicorn, you shall be effective.
I came to make these prophetic declarations. Nobody shall cover you. No circumstances shall cover you.
You are breaking out. I said you are breaking out. The Bible said the Lord shall exalt the horn of his anointed. I said your horn will be exalted.
In the family, there's a mark that they have made. Nobody shall cross. I said you are not part of that. Because you shall excel in the strength of the Lord. The Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If there are no billionaires in the family, I said you'll be the first. Because strength is at your at stake. See, strength is at your side. Oh, Madila Kabasaya. I said, I am declaring what the Lord has revealed to me. That nobody here shall be what? Shall be covered. Everybody shall be visible. Every one of you here shall be visible. The world shall recognize your impact.
Makebrasata talabaha. Oh, Shelege Debrasaya. Antela Kasaya. Akobra Satata. Kelemna no sete telemakapa. O ikatila masunde fele kataya. Hey tata kulabase. Mande lekepaya. At the horns of a unicorn are coming out. Madolo moseleketeya. We are above principalities and powers. We are operating from the place of the highest authority. Adora Masaya. Our authority shall not be in vain. An anointing upon our lives shall not be in vain. It shall be visible. It shall be dominant. It shall be effective. Where people should watch out for real results. Talk and do. This is the generation of talk and do. If we say we will do this, we will do it. I said people should wait. Oh, Marco Versailles. I want you to pray and say that, Lord, it's my season of visibility. Oh, Lord, you exalt me. The Bible says it is God that exalted. Lord, let my home be exalted. Some of you, it is time for exalt. You should be exalted. Manele makovele besakaya. Hey, makudele besende. Oh, lana makosha tatata. Ebra kadini ni oshendelele. Hey. Lift up your voice and pray. It's time for you to be exalted. Men no bro shele kabraha. Oh, there is prophecy over me. Oh, I shall not give up now.
Oh, I shall not fail, my Lord. I must fulfill my cause. There is prophecy over me. You will be visible. I shall not give up now. I shall not fail, my Lord. Oh, I will fulfill. There is prophecy over you. Macabre nama Messiah. The Lord is exalting your heart. Oh, there is prophecy over me. I shall not give up now. There is prophecy over me.
There's a prophecy over you. Divine mandate, that every eternal destiny, the determination of God upon your life. Oh, you fulfill it. I said you fulfill it. It's your season of visibility. Your names have been made known. I said your names have been known. Generation will come and they will mention your name. That they will set a man. Because your horn will be exalted. 2026, I said your horn will be exalted. You are coming out with the horn of a unicorn. You don't. This is a prophetic service. Makela Vasaya. Since I said you are coming out, you are coming out with visibility. Your horn is exalted. Oh, Barasata Kababasaya. Manabra Babosa Baba. Kolabra Sina. There is prophecy over you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming to a light. Don't underestimate yourself. There is prophecy over me. I shall not fail, my Lord. Oh, there is spirit inside me. Come on, my Lord, say it. He's the Holy Ghost. I shall not fail, my Lord.
Gladly stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Just breathe the name upon me.